the mine in Papua is the most lucrative one in Indonesia, the gold and copper mine, Freeport. And it generates an enormous revenue, but the Papuans have had very little enjoyment from it. So although there's a few corrupt official Papuans are rolling in money, the Papuans as a whole are still waiting for educational infrastructure, health benefits from Jakarta's money.
Okay, so from what I understand, you're saying the largest mines in Indonesia are located in West Papua, but the West Papuan people themselves are some of the most impoverished within the nation of Indonesia.
Yes, the Human Development Index is terrible in Papua. There are large parts of the highlands, densely populated highlands, which are overwhelmingly still Papuan. And that's where the heart of the insurgency against the Indonesian security forces is taking place.
Now, you mentioned the insurgency. What type of insurgency is it? Is it something similar or akin to what we've seen in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, it's symbolic in a way. There's a huge emphasis on flag raising and not so much emphasis on attacks on security forces. So, but by and large, the OPM has never graduated beyond having a few rifles. And so it's not to be regarded as an insurgency which has ever had a serious military option to drive the Indonesians out. It really has been largely a symbolic force.
Okay, now let's move on to, could you give us some background on the Indonesian Special Forces Unit known as Detachment 88, who have been accused of acting as death
squads? That's a police unit, and it's called Detachment 88 because of the 88 Australians that died in Bali in 2002. It's been heavily funded by Australia and the United States. Still is, and the training program seems to be dominated by Australian Federal Police. So it's, up to a point, an Australian creation, where Australia was very much in at the creation. But because that kind of rather aggressive police operations, counter-terrorist operations against Islamic terrorists had died down in Indonesia because of past successes mainly, this force has been turned loose on so-called separatist movements, not only in Papua, but also in Ambon in the Maluku Islands. And that's a big issue now because they seem to be calling the shots for the nastier operations in Papua, including the assassination of an important student leader, Marco Tabuni, last week in Jayapura at the capital.
So it looks like that Australia have been supplying and training this Detachment 88 Special Forces Unit, who have been involved in, at the least, human rights violations and, at the worst, targeted assassinations.
That's right, yes. I mean, this last assassination is peculiarly dreadful for the Papuans because they've had a whole succession of important leaders done away with in this way, typically in the past by Capacis and the army, but this time around by this special police detachment, apparently. We don't have completely unambiguous evidence about that, but it seems pretty likely.
Well, why would Australia be supporting the Indonesian occupation of West Papua and not supporting the independence movement as we did in East Timor?
Well, as we eventually did in East Timor, because we were one of the biggest defenders of Indonesia, and we were against separatism. As the government says, as Bob Carr's been saying lately, government's against separatism, but being against separatism in the Papuan context means you're against human rights, basically.
Okay, so we're sort of trying to toe the party line, if it was.
That's right, and we were knocked off that towing of the line in Timor by the atrocities that the army committed, essentially, which just made it a very bad look to go on supporting Indonesian rule in the old way. That could happen. Something like that could happen in Papua, but it's a much more difficult operation, really, to help the Papuans towards liberation because the Indonesians have got such a big stake in the mine and other resources, including the prospect of agro industries after logging Papua's forest.
And so just to finish up, but just to clarify, why is it being suggested that Australia is being so implicit with genocide in West Papua?
Well, being complicit in genocide is not a new thing for Australia. There's a disgraceful episode during the purge of the Communist Party back in 1965-66 where Australia unambiguously supported the killings that were going on, which were targeted communists, but also a lot of score settling and other kinds of mayhem and murder in that episode. And so, you know, it's an old story for us. Same in Timor, where a lot of atrocity was condoned and apologised for in Timor, especially by Gareth Evans, who now has a very good record on these issues, but certainly didn't when he was foreign minister.
So you're saying this is just another step in a long history?
Yeah, it's par for the course. It's been going on a long time, but that doesn't mean it needs to be condoned by people who really care about the interest of the Papuans.
And it doesn't mean it needs to continue forever. Is there anything our listeners can do to help support the West Papuan cause or to identify with the Australian government that they shouldn't be lending this support?
I think the pressure's mounting on the Australian government, especially over Dentist 88 at the moment. I think the Australian government's probably quite worried that eventually something like the Timor turnaround in opinion and sentiment will take place. But as I say, it's going to be more difficult than East Timor to make any radical change in Papua's situation.